Summer concert season is almost upon us, and if you're heading out to a country show, it'll be all about the boots. With seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more, Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience quite like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges. And they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.
It's millennials. They don't care about getting stuff right. You've given up on them, haven't you?
Well, yeah. Well, why? Of course. Why wouldn't I?
Oh, I know. Him also. I know. Sorry. Oh, look at you.
And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brother. Does he look like a bitch?
What?
Go on.
It is only disappointing that I cannot get together with Jay tomorrow night, or tonight as you listen to this podcast, Thursday night, for round one of the annual NFL Choose 'Em Up. I am in Milwaukee. Jay is in Baltimore. But one of these days, Jay, let's get together for the draft. What do you say?
I would enjoy that. I think I would.
I think it's a good...
Can we have beer?
Hell yeah. It's a good buddy watch, I believe, because there's always a lot of shit to be talked, and you don't have to worry about a game going on, per se. It's a bit more leisurely than a game. You know what I mean?
And it's I love how when you're picked, it's not tense, but when your guy, it's okay, shut up.
What's going on here? Yeah. It's such a... amazing thing that this thing is going to get a 12 share rating on Thursday night, which is more than pretty much, well, it's more than any NBA finals game, more than any World Series game. I would say it's approaching a Caitlin Clark basketball game.
Oh, God. I think I'm all Caitlin Clarked up.
Right. Oh. Did you see what your boy Antonio Brown got in trouble for?
He is a dick. Wait a minute. The latest one today. So you heard about Darren Waller?
Let me go to CTESPN because that's what his Twitter thing is all about. But yeah, just before you get to the latest one, he got in trouble because he tweeted out a picture of what he called the Air Force Ones, which were black high tops that had like a fur to him, straight black fur, and he said this was going to be Caitlin Clark's signature shoe because he's convinced that she doesn't shave. What a dick. I think he got, I don't know if he got banned from Twitter. Something happened. It was like he got put in the impolite jail, as it were.
Well, did you hear about the big couple breaking up?
Oh, yeah, yeah, Kelsey Plum and Darren Waller, yes.
Yes, so Antonio Brown says, well, I guess I'm going to shoot my shot right now. I'm like, oh, just shut up. Stop. Stop, Antonio.
By the way, 1.8 million followers.
Antonio Brown?
AB. At AB84, the bio just says, put that shit on.
So you can be a jackass and get 1.8.
I can't believe he's not in jail.
No. Remember that time he was rubbing his schlong in a pool in, like, Saudi Arabia? Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. He's been, I mean, remember he was like, throwing rocks at the movers that wouldn't give up his shit outside his mansion?
He's literally insane.
Well, yeah, right. And, you know, of course, he does the hashtag CTESPN. Yeah. Put that shit on. The location is Call God. 1.8 million followers. So,
good for you.
Yeah,
there good you for go. You.
Oh, wow, look at that. Kelsey Plum with a cigar in her mouth after the Aces won the WNBA title.
I'm a fan of her.
Well, Darren Waller was a fan as well until he stopped being a fan, or until he creeped out on her or snuck out on her, and then she's like, I ain't having this. I walked through fire for that man, she said. I'm like, honey, it was a year. It was a year, and you married an NFL player with a fucking neck tattoo right there on his throat. Like, what did you think you were getting into? You think this was fucking Ward Cleaver you were marrying?
But, well, he is a drug recoverer. So,
yes. Yeah.
So he might have some. I'm not going to say anything. I don't know. I just know she's really cute.
Yeah, she is very cute, and now she's available. So I guess he's going to shoot his shot, huh?
I can't. I wish I could. Those days are over.
Those days. No, not your days.
Oh,
moron!
Okay. I thought you meant me. Oh, sorry.
I'm scrolling now. I'm scrolling Antonio Brown's feed, and I'm trying to find the Caitlin Clark sneaker one. Can't seem to find it right now. Anyway, I digress. So
I was going to ask Bobby if I'm okay to date right now. Is that okay? Just to see what she's going to say. Hey, honey, could I date a little bit? No? Yes? No? No? Okay.
Oh, yeah, your girl. That's right. Oh, my God. All right, so Thursday night is draft night. Let's get our story straight. Let me first ask, what's the deal with Mel Kiper Jr.? You know, Bill Tobin died over the weekend. His most infamous foil. The guy that I would argue helped make the mystique of Mel Kiper Jr.
Best sound bites ever.
Right. So, you know, Mel is a Baltimore guy. I've met Mel having worked for a couple days with him on ESPN radio on the weekends.
I met him with you.
Oh, that's, you came to the ESPN zone?
Yeah, I met him with you. I told you he was the thing that had me impressed the most. I had, my buddy was a 3D football player. And we came up there. D3 player.
Yeah.
And my buddy, he knew everything about my buddy. He was like, I was
for
there.
For real?
He did. He did.
Wow.
But the guy was kind of, well, my friend was a second date pick, but still, he was D3, and Mel knew everything about him. I was like, okay, this is a little scary.
Yeah, I never knew how badly I would get stung by a bunch of hornets than when I cast aspersions on D3 athletes, which I did on my show about a month ago, because I was like, well, D3. Oh, you have no idea, man. D3 is really good. And a lot of guys that just don't want to play D1 because, you know, money, or they want to be closer to their family, they'll play D3. And I was like, whoa. I mean, I got an absolute flood of angry emails about that.
You get angry emails about anything.
I know.
Haven't you learned that?
I know. But do you concur that D3 is a lot closer to D1 than many people would realize?
Yeah, I do know now. Yes,
okay.
I do, yeah.
Yeah, there's a snobbery to it. Here's the bite. Bill Tobin, then the Colts GM, on ESPN to Chris Mortensen, another guy who's no longer with us. That all these people are dying around us, Jay. I got a feeling one of these days it'll be us.
Thank you.
Fuck.
One question, Bill. A lot of criticism about not taking a quarterback here. Your response?
Well, you know, we got a guy up there. Who in the hell is Mel Kiper, in a way? I mean, here's a guy that criticizes everybody, whoever they take. He's got the answers to who you should take and who you shouldn't take. In my knowledge of him, he's never ever put on a jock strap. He's never been a coach. He's never been a scout. He's never been an administrator. And all of a sudden, he's an expert. He's in our papers 2 days ago telling us who we have to take. We don't have to take anybody that Mel Kiper says we have to take. Mel Kiper has no more credentials to do what he's doing than my neighbor, and my neighbor's a postman, and he doesn't even have season tickets to the NFL.
Oh, God. That was a classic right there. Rest in peace, Bill Tobin.
Rest, R.I.P.
R.I.P. So, Mel is a great guy, very a prince of a fella. Nice. He was very nice to me. Very nice to me. He wouldn't stop. Like, Andy used to do that weekend shift with him on ESPN Radio. I only did it because Andy couldn't one weekend, so I filled in for Andy. And it was a low-leverage shift at the time on ESPN. Now, they, you know, everything is a big deal to them. But it was like, all right, well, we need somebody to do that shift. They let me do it. And when I was at the ESPN Zone, another one, pour one out for the ESPN Zone. Rest in peace.
No.
Back when the worldwide leader said, hey, let's do what TGI Fridays is doing. We can do it. How hard can it be? Restaurant, wings, some TVs. And they're like, yeah, we don't have any expertise in this. Mel, every week after I did that walk-on with Mel or did that one weekend, he would rave to Andy about how I was able to put down this huge ice cream sundae as a dessert after I had my free lunch with him prior to doing the shift. He's like, man, your boy Zabe, he can really house that that dessert, man. He's unbelievable. And I had that like as a badge of honor that Mel Kiper Jr. would rave about my largesse and my fat ass eating prowess of ice cream.
Too bad he's a Calvert Hall graduate. Sorry about that.
Is that your rival?
That's, well, everybody in this conference has a rival. Everybody hates everybody.
Okay.
So no matter what school you went to, I hate you.
What was your school again?
It was Cardinal Gibbons who closed down.
Oh, no.
Yeah, they closed.
Right. Does anybody miss Todd McShay?
He's not doing it anymore, is he? He's gone, right?
He got laid off. Along with Susie Colbert.
I wasn't a fan about him.
Did you like that fake sort of rivalry that they stood
I never
up?
Thought it was. I thought it was made up.
I know, but it was this thing. And at one point, they tried to run Mel out of there. They thought, we don't need him anymore, and they brought on McShay, and they're like, we'll do fine with him. I can't believe that ESPN, with all the NFL they cover, wouldn't say, you know what, we need to keep McShay. Just from we need another reliever in the bullpen to talk draft because it's such a huge deal.
Don't you love how everybody now says, I'm a GM expert? Don't you love that? how many of these guys who really are? Like, who really study?
Well, yeah, there's two things. There's studying one, who are the players who you think will do well in the pros? That's one end of it. And then the other end is trying to figure out what teams will draft who based on philosophy, their owner, their past failures of picking certain players, who the coach is at the time. Like, there was a lot of talk, and I don't think come tonight, Thursday night, it's going to happen, but there was a lot of talk that the Patriots – may not take a quarterback at number three because Gerard Mayo, their new coach, seems to really like Jacoby Brissett, who they acquired in the offseason. And I'm like, the fuck, they aren't taking a quarterback at three? Like, in a draft with five or six first-round QBs, them sitting at three naturally with the smoldering wreckage of the Mac Jones era still stenching their nostrils, the fuck they aren't going to take a quarterback. And just in the last week, it's kind of pivoted towards, yeah, they're probably going to stay put and take a QB.
You think?
Right. That said, though, they got nothing in the cupboard. And if you're then going to be left with Drake May, which is apparently what it's looking like, and he's a bit of a project, this could be another disaster all over again. You get a guy who's a project coupled with the cupboard being bare in terms of weapons and assets, new coach, new offense, the whole schlemiel, could be trouble. Could be a disaster. But do you think the Patriots could stand to say, nah, we're just going to ride with Brissett. We'll go pick a quarterback another year.
That's not a smart – I don't think that's a smart thing. But no. What the hell do I know?
I know. Well, you know, the thing is, what do we know? And the answer is not much less than those doing it. Otherwise, they wouldn't make so many horrible mistakes over the years.
Who was – do you remember there was a Cowboy GM? He did just, like, walk around with a book? It's not
Andy and I talked about that earlier this week. That was Gil Brandt. Gil Brandt didn't.
Oh, what was the other guy?
Well, there was
him and
most,
the other guy.
Most GMs would just walk around with a Street and Smith to the draft, curled up in their hands. It was Gil Brandt who actually started doing his own stuff, his own research. We also chronicled early in the week about how the NFL draft used to be as early as November, as soon as the regular season in college was over. And then they moved it to the end of January, which was right after the Super Bowl. And then they decided, hey, we ought to string this out a bit and do it in April and let these teams bring in guys for visits and interviews and everything else.
Wasn't it at one time like 15 rounds or something ridiculous?
Yes.
Like that also?
Yes. Oh. It was also that as well.
Can you imagine? Yeah. And with round 15, they wouldn't know half of those players are.
Yeah. So get your story straight. Before we get the first round of the draft, what do you expect? What do you think? What are you willing to plant your flag on?
I have one. Here's my flag.
Okay.
J.J. McCarthy will be a bust.
That's right. You've already said that one. You're still firm on that. Nothing has changed. You want a dumb J.J. McCarthy take, like a seethingly dumb take? This morning, apparently, on ESPN, Mike Greenberg floated this. Why don't the Chargers go ahead and use their first-round pick on J.J. McCarthy and trade Justin Herbert? Yeah, let that one soak in. Trade Justin Herbert.
Just because Harbaugh isn't he's just
getting
worse.
How would you assess the possibilities
here
of this?
Can you hear this down the line or no?
Yes, I can hear it, yes.
Well, first things first. Ryan, I don't have an assistant. I post all my own material. That's number one. Number two, I looked into this a month ago. 1 month ago, and asked, could this be? Would anybody in Los Angeles consider taking J.J. McCarthy with Jim Harbaugh, saying he's the best quarterback in this draft, the best quarterback in Michigan history, the best pro day he's ever seen any player have? You couldn't be any more effusive in a player the way that Jim Harbaugh has spoken about J.J. McCarthy. And the way it was told to me a month ago was that no new money in Justin Herbert's contract is kicked in. To trade him would cost them well over $100 million, which would be the largest cap charge in history. You'd be absorbing the largest cap charge in NFL history to trade one of the elite young quarterback talents. Like, it doesn't make sense for as much as you would get back. And I don't understand how those odds have gone up like that. Is this some sort of gimmick? Is this some sort of thing where they're trying to attract people to get some bank? I don't understand it.
Yeah. That's the level
so
of stupid.
You're saying,
now.
Greeny, you're an idiot. Yeah.
Yeah.
For thinking that, yeah.
Well, and like all the ESPN guys, they can hide behind the, well, I'm not saying I would. I'm saying
some
people are saying.
But my J.J. McCarthy reason is I've been watching his highlights. When you watch a quarterback and you see 60% of their plays show him running, that's never good. Just remember that.
Yeah, that's a good point. And a lot of those plays are running plays. And low volume because, man, Michigan has been one of the most run-heavy programs under Harbaugh in the country. Like 55% run, 45% pass, I think the number is.
Just,
that's a lot.
Just remember what I said.
Okay.
Then I'm also going to laugh when Caleb Williams is a rookie of the year, and I can laugh at you.
I know.
And tell you to pound sand.
I know. You know, there's a scout. I want to play this for you. Pablo Torre.
Oh, God. Oh, I don't like him.
Okay, good. Well, then you're going to hate this doubly. Pablo Torre had on an NFL insider who talked to a scout, unnamed, of course, who had this to say about...
Aren't they always unnamed? Nobody puts their name on it.
That's right. They don't want the blowback. They don't want the blowback. They want to hide. So here he is. This is the NFL insider. I don't know who it is. Talking about a scout's take on Caleb Williams when asked, what did you think of when Caleb was crying in his mom's arms?
I reached out to a guy who's really well-connected, a former scout, really well-connected across the NFL with GMs and front offices, and I was blown away by his reaction.
What did the scout tell you that you can report?
I hated it. Hated it. He would scare the out of me if I was working for a team. Raw emotion is great, but Caleb's thing, that was ridiculous to me. That threw up major red flags. You just lost a game in the middle of f***ing season, and it was like your third loss in the Pac-12, and you went hugging on mommy and crying in mommy's arms, and it just seems really freaking weak and nuts. And I will tell you, he scares the out of a lot of NFL teams, too. The book on him is he's just kind of a weird kid. One GM told me it's like if Prince played quarterback. Look, I don't know him from Adam. I do not know him. But to me, that looked weak as really fragile.
And so this is part of why I wanted to do this episode is because as much as I want to be the enlightened person, I want to acknowledge what seems different about this. It's telling that like NFL scouts feel this, random bloggers feel this, talking heads feel this.
A lot of us felt the same way. It's like we're not sure how to process this.
Jay. It's like Prince played quarterback.
I'm putting this up here with, I heard somebody say that Richard Pryor is a terrible comedian. That was also the craziest thing.
Oh yeah, how do you feel about that?
I love Charge. You know I do. You know I adore him, but that was asinine.
Yeah,
somebody thought Vince Young was going to be a good quarterback, and anybody with eyes could see this guy can't throw the football.
True,
I don't know how anybody can. So true, but nobody fucking knows. That's what I'm saying.
I know, but Vince Young turned out to be emotionally fragile because remember when things.
He sucked more than that though. If you saw him at Texas, he ran 60% of the time.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't throw a lot of yet. So I don't know how anybody couldn't see that and go, I'm not taking him in the first round. But some dumb Tennessee did. Dummies.
Yeah. Well, I love the fact they cannot figure it out because it just makes for more enjoyment and entertainment when you're watching the draft. And to be able to say years later, I knew that guy was going to suck. If they got it right all the time, then how boring would it be? Now it sucks if your team is taking one of these guys and you're like, oh, don't be a rubber chicken. Don't be a rubber chicken. It's like a bag full of half rubber chickens, half real chickens you're gonna need to eat to live. And you have to grab into the bag blindly. Rubber chicken. Fuck, this guy sucks.
I love hearing, I think they reached on that one. That's never good here.
Never good. Do you know that someone at ESPN has attempted to discern which positions have the highest hit rate versus the lowest by position in the last 20 years?
Ooh, can I get, wait a minute, let me guess this one.
While you think, let me just lay out the parameters. ESPN content producer Paul Hembo went back and calculated hit or miss based on whether that player signed a second contract with the team that drafted them. I'd say that's a fair barometer, a second contract, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Guess which position had the highest hit rate? First rounders, by the way. This is first rounders only. And I think that's a fair metric because the first round – you should get that pick right because,
right.
It's only 32 out of eventually well, 255 players drafted, but then also 255. Hold on. 7 times 255. Whatever. You get my point. First yes. round, you should hit. At least get a guy that you want to sign to another contract when it's all said and done. What position was the highest hit rate?
What position? Oh, I'm going to say not. I'm going to say offensive tackles.
Close. Center.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That makes, yeah. That makes
center sense. Had a 92% hit rate, but in part because it had the fewest first rounders in that time, 11. Actually, second fewest first round picks in that time, 11. 11 centers drafted, only one missed. So a 92% hit rate. It's a bit deceiving, that stat, though, because it's not typical that a center pops to where you're like, this guy's a first rounder. Look, he was built to play center. He's got all the tools, right?
Right.
Number two was tackle.
Yeah, I kind of
60% offensive.
It's tackle. Harder to find, and when you got one, you know, and they're harder to find good tackles.
Guard is third at 50%.
Makes sense.
Gee, let's think. If you wanted to use the draft just as a utilitarian tool to build your team and to not overthink it, what should you use the draft for in the first
round? I don't know.
Offensive
tackles,
line.
Guards and centers, yeah.
Given that you always need more of everything up front, just every year. A team would be interesting if they said, look, we know this quarterback from this place is coming out and he looks great, but we don't take guys like that in the first round. We just take O-linemen. It's safer. We'll find our quarterback somewhere else.
I would do that. Yeah. I take a center first all the time.
Linebacker, quarterback, edge rusher, and D-tackle were all in the 40% range. Wow. And then in the 30% range, at about 38% down to 33%, you had corner, running back, safety, and tight end. And what is the dead last position?
Kicker.
Wide receiver.
Oh, I'm just making that. Okay, kicker.
Yeah, you draft a kicker in the first round, they're firing your ass. Wide receiver, only a 27% hit rate. They are the trickiest divas. They are the car stereo, the flashy, fun thing that you think, oh, this guy's going to be great. And you just don't fucking know with those guys.
I was thinking it would be more with a wide receiver because, yes, they may run a 4-1-7, but they can't run a route. You don't know until, you know, when they get to camp. Oh, my God. Or like Desmond Howard.
Yeah.
Fucking Heisman. Couldn't get off the line.
Right. And you know what? For the longest time, I didn't understand how complicated wide receiver was, that it was a much more difficult position than I just thought, well, run fast and catch the motherfucking ball, you dummy. How hard can it be? But there is so much reading of defenses that has to go on with the wide receiver and be in tune with his quarterback as to, okay, here's the coverage I'm facing. I know he's going to see it this way, so I see it that way. Therefore, I'm going to sit down on this route. Or the ability to run precision routes and know your landmarks. Like, okay, this is a slant on third, whatever. I'm hot on this particular play. That means I have to run no more than 3 yards, not 4, not 5, but 3 yards, and then do a sharp angle cut. Not a lazy cut, but a sharp cut to make sure to give them a chance. These wide receivers have to know all that stuff.
I spent 6 years watching games with Kadri Ismail.
Ooh, and it was, there you go.
He was a wizard about this stuff. He would go, all right, here's what's going to, if they run zone, they're going to do this, this, and this. If they press up, they're going to do this. I was like, Jesus Christ, okay. And he was right 99% of the time.
I also need to correct myself. I'd said that there haven't been, if this kid, as expected from Iowa, goes in the first round, the corner, the white corner, I said he'll be the first white corner since Jason Sehorn in the league. And I've been wrong about that. Somebody pointed that out. Let me type in white corner to my email account here. Jay, give me a few baseball scores while we're waiting for me to look this up, if you don't mind.
Baltimore and the Angels are nothing to nothing in the bottom of the second here. Dean Kramer on the mound for your Baltimore Orioles.
Okay. White. I'll just type in white. That should come. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At MyBookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.
Up right wait a minute. White quarterbacks? I got it.
Here we go.
None.
Here we go. Luke Breslin. He said, on a recent show, you're talking about the upcoming draft and mentioned there hasn't been a white cornerback since Jason Sehorn. You're not the only person I've heard say that, but you're wrong, and it's a lazy take. Riley Moss for the Broncos, Ethan Bonner for the Dolphins, and Troy Apke recently with the Commanders. Cooper DeJean is about to be drafted, with Iowa producing white cornerback draftees in consecutive years, because apparently Riley Moss was one as well. Anyway, I just find that stuff demographically interesting. Love the show and keep up the great work. Luke Breslin from Louisiana.
So this emailer just three guys in the last 50 years.
Yeah.
See, this is what I'm talking about. This is these have got see these emailers. He just named three guys, by the way, I've never heard of. Never.
I'm just saying, I want to be correct. He was polite about it, didn't call me a dipshit. He said, I just wanted to slightly correct you that Riley Moss, and I'm looking at him right now, yes, he is a white corner out of Iowa that went to the Broncos.
Three in the last 50 years.
Well, the point was, I said we haven't seen one since, dot, dot, dot. Now, Troy Apke, he was a role player at best.
I've never heard of any of these people.
Okay. The Broncos traded up to get Riley Moss last year. That's kind of amazing. A number 107 third round plus a 2024 third round pick. This for pick number 83. So he was a mid third round pick, old Riley Moss.
Black punters, go.
Donald Igwe Buike.
Punter.
Oh, he was a kicker, right.
Reggie Roby. Greg Coleman. That's all I got.
Reggie Roby, Greg Coleman, and then the guy for the Raiders who was all cocky.
Oh, and the Steelers had a black punter. They just released him. I can't remember his name. Yeah, that's four. There you go. Reggie Roby, by the way, do you remember he used to wear a watch?
Of course, so he could time his own hang time. He'd be like, punt, beep, with his Casio. And looks like that ball's in the air for a fuckload long time. Aren't I great? Look at my thighs. Marquette King.
Yes, and he used to do a dance, and oh yeah, and then he said he got released. He said he got released because of being black. I don't know about that one.
You got to be able to use the card.
I can't buy that one, buddy. But nice try.
The funny thing about the draft and certain positions being a little bit more bust prone than others is that Warren Sharp came out with a chart that said total draft capital used to draft O-linemen the last 5 years. No two teams over the last 5 years has invested more of their draft capital on O-linemen than the Giants and the Jets, and yet no team over the last 5 years has had a higher quarterback pressure rate allowed than, can you guess which two teams, Jay? Can you guess? The Giants
and the Jets.
So the Giants and the Jets have been doing the strategy we just talked about for 5 years, and it's still not working. Oh, well. All right, let's get to Greg Doyle. You wanted to talk about Greg Doyle because you remember some of the history with Greg on our show.
Yeah, I found him. That was me. Brought him to you. He was a fan of ours for a while. I really liked him.
I was a fan of his as well until...
When was... Okay, yeah. I think we have two different reason.
Okay. He started attacking Gary Williams and taking the side of, he can't coach. And I forget exactly his take, but it was pretty much spoon fed to him by Debbie Yao, who was then at North Carolina, had left Maryland because Debbie Yao could not stand Gary Williams. And I'm just like, okay, Greg, you're being lazy. You literally have no idea what you're talking about here. And that's when I kind of punched out. That's when I punched out.
He got roasted by fans. He literally was like, I'm not talking to any Maryland sports ever again because he was scared. He just got, oh, yeah. Because I talked to him. And he was like, I'm not. He goes, that fan base, I'm never talking to again. I was like, oh, that's kind of pussy. But go ahead.
Okay. So what was it for you then? Or are you still friendly with him?
Well, he once, and this is when he was on our show, but he went after Vitale. Vitale was voted into the Basketball Hall of Fame. And he said the only reason he should get in is because, I'm trying to remember exact. He said maybe the guy who created the number one foam, it should also be in if Vitale is in for being a cheerleader. And Dan Patrick and him had a yell back and forth with each other. It was great radio. It was awesome radio. This is when Dan Patrick was on ESPN. I think he was on with us like a day before, and I called him. I was like, that was the best radio I've heard in a while. And he was like, was it too much? And I'm like, nope, I thought it was great. So we would go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Then years later, he apologized about what he said about Vitale. And I'm like, oh, that's so pussy. Don't do that. No. I was like, I'm done with him. I'm done.
So it was his apology that broke you on him. You're like, God damn it. It was great. Yeah. And now you're apologizing for no reason years later.
Right. Right. Just to be, look at me. I'm like, no. And then last week, what I saw with him and Caitlin Clark, and I was like, that may be one of the worst things I've ever seen.
Yeah, well, there you go. He feels like I got to now grovel on this. Speaking of not dealing with fan bases, do you know that the LA Times published a review of Taylor Swift's new album that was so critical? They took the author's byline of the piece off of it because they were feared for that person's physical safety.
Well, what is their little hive called? What is it? The Swifties?
The Swifties. Yeah, they're not the beehive.
Don't fuck with them.
They're not the beehive. The beehive is nasty, They'll come after you for Beyonce. But the Swifties, and all it takes is one who was the guy that tried to impress Jodie Foster? Was it Hinkley?
I think David Hinckley. I can't remember which one that was.
I'm looking. There's a long history of, you know, loner psychos who want to avenge the honor of a woman that
they adore
or that they think they've got a special role to protect, and then they will go out and shoot somebody for whatever reason that they think is threatening this person that they adore. So they would not put the name on it, but it was a great scathing review of that album. I would assume you haven't heard any of it.
I have not heard a thing of it, but I just do know three things. Don't mess with Chris Brown fans, the Beehive, or the Swifties. Don't, or Black Twitter. Black Twitter.
And how do I know if I've somehow wandered into Black Twitter? Will I be on Martin Luther King Boulevard? Will I know it when I see it? will there be a Popeyes somewhere on the corner?
Okay.
All right. Calm down now.
Okay. Yeah.
Hey, I love Popeyes, by the way. You've gone too far. U-turn. You've gone too far.
That was funny, though.
So the review, which was completely scathing, reminded me of the great scene in Spinal Tap where they're reading some of the reviews back to the band members. Remember that?
I've seen it once, by the way.
Just once, okay.
Just once, yeah.
Here we go. Rob Reiner as the documentary filmmaker interviewing the band saying, okay, here's what the critics are saying about some of your albums.
Talk about your reviews a little bit regarding Intravenous to Milo. This tasteless cover is a good indication of the lack of musical invention within. The musical growth rate of this band cannot even be charted. They are treading water in a sea of retarded sexuality and bad poetry.
The great Harry Shearer with his mutton chops and his pipe that he's smoking as Derek Smalls is just sitting there kind of taking it all in, kind of nodding.
Nitpicking, isn't it? The gospel according...
He goes, it's nitpicking. Christopher Guest, that's nitpicking, isn't it?
And bad poetry. Oh,
that's nitpicking, isn't it?
The gospel according to Spinal Tap. This pretentious, ponderous collection of religious rock psalms is enough to prompt the question, what day did the Lord create Spinal Tap, and couldn't he have rested on that day, too?
Never heard that one. That's a good one.
The review you had on Shark Sandwich, which was merely a two-word review, just said, shit sandwich.
Where'd they print that?
I love that. You can't.
Great Harry Shearer.
I know. It reminded me of the Boom Roasted episode in The Office when Stanley laughed at Michael's Boom Roasted. Stanley, you're so fat, you crush your wife when you have sex, and you'll probably die because your heart sucks. Boom Roasted.
Boom Roasted.
And he starts laughing. He's like, fucking Stanley Hudson. I love that character so much. Oh my God. Especially when he snapped on Michael Scott.
Remember when the one where the intern, well, Stanley's girlfriend was just talking to the intern, and Stanley was like, oh no, you're not going to do this. Have you lost your mind?
Have you lost your damn mind? Because I will help you find it. Yeah, there you go.
Zig and Pep, see, those are the kind of words we're looking for. Yes, Jim.
What about if we did an even newer voicemail message that had even more zing and pep?
Now we're cooking. I like this. Maybe a whole theme, like a rap rhyme.
An urban thing.
An urban, yeah. Stanley, you want to help us out with that? Stanley, Earth to Stanley.
Not me.
Yes, you. Come on, Stanley, put your little game down and join the group.
No.
Stanley, we're having a little
leave
brain.
Leave me alone, damn
we're
it.
Having a brainstorm session.
Did I stutter?
Everybody goes deadly silent. Oh, my God. Good stuff. Oh. All right. Let's end on this, Jay. Reggie's Heisman is finally coming home.
Thank effing God.
The Heisman Trust has announced today that they are returning the bronze statue to Reginald Bush after it was taken from him in the wake of him accepting improper benefits, mostly a condo on the Malibu beach, for him and his family and a bunch of cash when he played at USC. Because back then, you know, back in the old days, you couldn't do that. Now, shit, guys are changing schools every year for $1 million.
Do you remember what they took his hyphen for? A lot of people don't remember.
I thought it was for the because of the beach condo and all the other stuff he allegedly
got. Okay, a lot of people think accepting. No. He was taking money. No, his parents had a house that was being foreclosed, and a guy, you know, sold him a house like literally cheap, and somehow
for like nothing.
That is, and somehow that's illegal. But anyway, yeah. So he wasn't accepting $50,000. No.
Listen, they had
a house.
I loved watching that guy run in college and in the pros like no other running back. I was totally horny for Reggie Bush. I said the Packers should take him. They didn't. And he was not a very good pro except for the 1 year with the Saints when they won the Super Bowl. He ran between the tackles, and he ran with a ferocious abandon, which was not his style. And I had a lot of respect for him when he did that.
And in my last 30 years of watching USC, Pac-12 football, the two best running backs I have seen in the last 30 years, Reggie Bush and Christian McCaffrey. Those are the two best I've seen.
Yeah, very good. And, of course, Reggie had a fling with a Kardashian and lived to tell about it.
Yes, he did.
So that is something else. Good-looking guy, great runner, good pro career, just not, you know, maybe what it was all cracked up to be.
And now great kick returner also.
Yes, absolutely. Sold a whole lot of number 5 jerseys, right? Number 5 at USC?
Number 5, yep.
Yeah, okay. All right, I believe OJ also got his Heisman back at gunpoint, right?
They didn't take it. They never took it.
I thought he got it back at gunpoint, and then he went to jail for that.
Well, I mean, they didn't kick him out of the Heisman. No, he sold it to somebody, and he got it back.
Oh, but,
you know, yeah. Okay. He didn't get kicked out of the Heisman. Somebody just sold it to somebody else.
All right, Jake, can you tell what song this is? You want to play Name That Tune?
why can I remember his name?
Rockwell.
Barry Gordy. Is it Barry Gordy's son? Is it? I think it's Barry Gordy's son. Yeah, I think he is.
Rockwell, somebody watching me.
He's somebody's son.
Okay. Yeah. Well, one hit wonder from the 80s. Somehow is in my system of songs. All right, Jay. Good luck with your Pittsburgh Steelers, who I guess declined to pick up the 5th-year option on Justin Fields.
I didn't get that one. I didn't, but if it's such a big number, I wouldn't sign him either yet.
Okay. All right. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you, buddy.
Bye-bye now.
Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.